You know, one of the things I'm grateful for is a man by the name of Abraham. And I'll tell you a little bit more why I'm grateful for him as we read this passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning in verse 8 through verse 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I'm reading this from the New American Standard Version. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God, builder and maker. In the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, more is written about Abraham and Moses in this chapter than any of the other heroes. You know, these are all heroes of faith. But more is written about Abraham. That passage there is fairly long compared to, if you notice, by faith Abel, there's one verse there for Abel, one verse for Enoch, and Noah has one verse. But Abraham has three verses. And then, of course, you have more about Moses, all the things that he had done. Because these are the great, great leaders of ancient Israel, the great leaders. And a lot more is devoted to them. So let's take a look at this phrase here. By faith, the first part of this chapter, verse 8. By faith, okay, when he was called. Called. Now this calling came first from a divine source. It didn't come from just anyone. It came from divine commands, divine course. What did God say directly to Abraham? Get out of your house and away from your family. Okay? Go to a country where I will show you. Leave your father's house. So it's very clear in Genesis chapter 12, he had a calling direct that he knew it was from God. Okay? It was not a suggestion, by the way. I suggest that you leave your house. It was not a suggestion, it was a command. I want you to get out of your father's house, go to a place that I will show you. So the call of Abraham and was direct from God, it was a command, and he, by faith, obeyed it. So notice verse 8. By faith, when he was called, what did he do? He obeyed by going out. He left. He left his family. Now, I want you to notice this. Think about it, Abraham. I'll read you a little bit of the background in just a minute, but he's with his family. Okay? He's all here. He's living with his uncle, and I think his father had just died, but he's living with his uncle. He's got his wife. He's got other friends. He's got the rest of the, you know, because he had brother and other people there, brothers, and they're all with him. And all of a sudden, you know, let's say you're a brother. You look at Abraham and you say, what are you doing? What are you packing up? Well, I'm packing up this. I'm getting ready to count. Why are you packing everything? You know, we're all living here nicely here in Haran. Why are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You're packing up everything. You look like you're going on some kind of a trip. You're getting your cattle ready. You're getting your wife ready. You're getting all these things ready. You got your, you know, tents and everything. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I just know I've got to leave. Leave where? Leave here? If you leave here, where are you going to go? I don't know. God will show me. I've got to go. I've got to leave. Now think about that. I mean, people are going to, well, what are people going to say about you? a little on the nutty side, right? You're a little bit cuckoo because you're going to go somewhere that you don't know where you're going, but you're packing up for a big trip and you're ready to go. You see, faith is not something that we work up a lot of people think faith is something you work up to be optimistic when things are really going badly. Okay, things are falling apart. I've got to have faith. I've got to tell myself it's going to be better. I'm going to go something tomorrow. It's going to be okay. I have this belief it's going to be okay. That's not the Bible definition of faith. Bible definition of faith is what rests on the divine precept or principle of the Word of God. That's the foundation for our faith and belief and our, as well as our conduct. So, in a sense, if you're not living by a precept, a principle, a direct command, the Bible itself, if you're not living according to the Word of God, you're not living according to faith. Because that's the basis of your trust. It's the basis of your obedience. It's the basis of your conduct. What? The Bible itself. So you can say, I'm doing something by faith, but if you cannot produce, you can't say, well, here's why I'm here for the Sabbath, because here's what the Bible says about it, or here's what I'm doing because this is what the Bible, then are you really living by faith, or are you just doing things? You have to live by a precept, a principle. So Abraham was called. It was revealed to him by the Word of God. God spoke to him. That's the Word of God, is it not? God said to him. What did the Bible say in Genesis 12? God said to him, Abraham, he says, here I am. Get out, leave your family, leave your house, leave your household, and go to a place that I'll show you. And as the writer here, Paul, says, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive, where he was raised to receive an inheritance, but he not knowing where he was going. Just didn't know. You know, tell me the address and I'll plug it into my GPS system. There was no GPS system. He was just going. And by the way, if you don't know the Bible, if you don't know the Scriptures, if you don't understand the Scriptures, how can you have a precept? How can you live by faith based on the Scriptures themselves? Okay? You'll be in the dark, not knowing what God is saying. And a lot of times, I think there's a kind of a more of a resurrection of people wanting to get back to the Scriptures today, but there are a lot of churches that don't, you know, they don't read the Scriptures. They hardly ever talk Scriptures. All right. So he leaves his native country and his kinfolk, okay? He's going to leave them. And that's going to purify him because the place where he was polluted. It was not holy. It was not honoring. It was not honoring God. He was going to leave there. If you read Joshua chapter 24... and verse 2, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 2. Here's what Joshua said to the people. Thus says the Eternal, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah. Terah was the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor was Abraham's brother. And they served other gods. Well, when they were living up in Haran, they still served other gods. So here is Abraham. Abraham had to purify this. And Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, Isaiah says, listen. This is Isaiah 51, beginning in verse 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the eternal. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. So what is God saying? You really want righteousness. He's talking to the people of Israel in the book of Isaiah. When they had left God's way, they were drifting away. He said, go back and look at Abraham. That's your standard. Go back and look at what he's doing. Go back and look how he is. And follow that. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Okay? Now, to live by faith, you have to pay. Sometimes it's costly. Sometimes there's a price tag by living by faith. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 11. And beginning in verse 31, we're going to read through chapter 12, verse 2. Now you'll see Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans. Now Ur of the Chaldeans would be when we're in an area we would call Iraq. Okay, Iraq, that area. And if you look at it on a map, you'll see Ur of the Chaldees is over here. They went along the Euphrates River, close following the course, all the way north to a place called Haran, where they dwelt. Okay, and let's read this. By his father said, let's all leave here in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. That's where they settled. Now, they didn't go to the land of Canaan. They're up north of what we call toward Assyria now. They went from Babylon all the way up north to Assyria, which was not Assyria at that time. It was just the land. Okay, and they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So his father died. He's got the rest of his family there. Now chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Eternal said to Abram, go forth from your country. This is where you've been living now for a while. We don't know how long they lived in Haran. And from your relatives and from your father's house. I guess they lived in his dad's house. He had a big house, got all the relatives there. To the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. Okay? This is all the things that you're going to have. I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Okay? So, here was Abraham. He had followed a road when they first left Ur of the Chaldees. Now they've gone up toward Haran. Now he had to come back down. He was going to be shown. He's going into the land of Canaan. God's going to show him where he was going to settle. Okay? Well, there's a long road, okay, from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan. He went the roundabout way. He followed that Euphrates River. He now is now coming to cross desert country. He has to go through desert country now, all the way down to the land which became Israel. He traveled from Ur of the Chaldees, from here, up here, and back down. If you plot it out on a map, you'll see it's close to 1,000 miles. He made the first few hundred of miles from here to here, and then he thought all the way down into the land of Canaan a long time. It's a long trip. Now, if I asked you, would you get in your car and drive from here to Salem, Oregon? It'd be about 1,000 miles. You say, well, that's a long trip, David. You know, I get tired. I can't make it. It'll take me at least 2 days in my nice automobile with my nice stereo playing, with the service stations along the way to stop by and have coffee here and a little snack there, go to a restroom here, find little places. And then stopping in a very nice motel to sleep and have a night. But even that's arduous. If you can make it in 2 days, that means you've got to make 500 miles a day. 500 miles a day on the freeway, that could be a few, six, 7 hours. That's not easy. Some of you would say, that's a very difficult trip. Try making it on a camel or on foot. You know he had to travel by camel and a lot on foot. Here's Abram coming all this way now across desert land. Across the desert. It's tough to go across desert. Deserts have sandstorms. There are often robbers and Bedouins and other people that catch you out on the desert, could hurt you. You don't know who they are. You're coming across. You're going to the land God said to go to. You're just doing it. No motels, no hotels, no nice swimming pools at the end of your day. You know, I drove a long way. I want to get in the swimming pool and this jacuzzi and relax. No CDs in the car while you travel. No food places or Trader Joe's or other things on the way. There's nothing on the way. This is what he did. He had to brave dangers. Dangers from criminals. Dangers from plagues. Dangers from sandstorms. Dangers from hot weather. Dangers from wild animals. You know, in those days, remember, even in the Samson's time, he said, I killed a lion. Remember? He said, I had to kill this lion. And David talked about lions in the Middle East at that time. And so here's a person, you're braving all this, and you got to protect your flock. I guess he's taking a bunch of animals, he's taking some of his servants, and let's go. I mean, that is a trip. That is there. There was no joy. This was not a joy trip. This was not a pleasure trip. This was not a sightseeing trip. This was a hard trip based on obedience to God and faith. You know, you have to go the distance. You talk about going the distance. How far is the distance? I'm going to go the distance until I get there. That's what Abraham did. I'm going to go the distance. So here he was. And what did Jesus say? You have to go the distance. Jesus said it like this to the Jews. John 8, 4, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. That's from the New International Version. In other words, if you continue in my word, my teaching, then to the Jews who believed on him, you remember, I think the King James says, who believed on him, he said to them, if you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples? You can't just start, I like God's word. I think that's good. Good enough for me. That's it. I said it. I looked at it. I read the Bible a little bit. I'm done. That's good enough for me, you know. No. You have to go the distance. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. You know, if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to walk the path of obedience. You have to do. Your faith has to take you somewhere. Your faith has to say, I'm going to do it. Otherwise, you don't really believe it. If you really, you know, there's the old story, do you believe I can do this? You know, the guy who walked across the Niagara Falls on a rope, you know, and he had this big thing, and then he showed he could do it, you know, this way, and he could have a box on it, and he had other things that he carried across, and, you know, and he showed people that he could do it. And somebody, then he came across to the audience, and he said, do you think I could carry a person? Oh, is that what you carried all this weight? You carried this box, you carried this dog, you carried this other thing? I think so. And he said, well, get on, you know. Well, you know, I don't really think so. You know, well, get on. Okay, are you really wanting to get on? Do you really believe? Here's Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. You say you profess a faith, you got to profess it with a certain amount of obedience. And your being here today on the Sabbath day says what? That you live by a precept. You live by certain things. You live by God's word. You live by instruction. You have a basis for your action, and it's faith that was able to bring you here. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. Remember, he's supposed to receive it. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He did not know it. He hadn't been there yet. Why didn't he know he even wanted it for an inheritance? But he went out. And by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. It was a promised land. It was based on a promise from God. As in a foreign land. I'm reading from Hebrews 11 now, verse 9. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. You know, you're going to do this. You're going to go this distance. You're going to go these miles. You're going to go across the desert. You're going to have a lot of, you know, struggle. It's truly a chore, and it's not only a chore, but in modern world, unless you had God's protection, it's a very dangerous trip. But here's what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, before we get to Hebrews chapter 11, here's what it says. Paul writing this to the Jewish Christians at his time, Hebrews to the Jewish Christians, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. You have to endure it. You have to be able to go the distance. You have to have the strength to keep on going. You have need for endurance. You know, what was happening to the Jewish Christians in Paul's time as they were being ousted, their businesses were being wrecked. If you believed in Christ, you were an anathema to all the people around you. People wouldn't buy from you. They wouldn't sell to you. Your business, you know, if you had a trade and you said, well, I need to buy so many pounds of this for my store or for that. No, I'm not selling it to you. I heard that you believed that Jesus is the Christ. I'm not selling you anything. And so their businesses collapsed. That's why Paul had to take up that offering. You know, he had to take up all that stuff on his trips. And he said, let's bring that to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Remember, he was going to take up the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Because they were poor. They were ousted. And some of them were ready to give up. Oh, what's this? You know, Christianity is too hard. It's too much to endure. I can't go through it. So here Paul is writing to them. He said, you didn't know what Abraham went through, going through a desert land. You don't know what Noah went through, being ridiculed and laughed at. You don't know what these people went through. So he says, you have need of endurance. Do you? Do I? Do we have need of endurance? That after you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And what was promised to Abraham? Okay, what was promised to Abraham? I'm not going to turn to every passage, but I'm going to tell you the promises. The first promise was, I will make of you a great nation. You remember that? That's the first promise. You're going to be a great nation. Well, that's pretty enduring. The second promise, God said, is I will bless you. Prosperity. You know, proliferation of things. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be prospered. I'm going to have abundance. I will bless you. The third promise was about fame. God said, I'm going to make your name great. Well, boy, almost everybody, you know, in the Middle East has heard of Abraham. Even the Arabs have heard the word Abraham. He's our father too. Okay? They came through Ishmael and Keturah and some of these other nations that rose up from Abraham. I'll make your name great. The fourth promise was about favors. What you will do for other people. You shall be a blessing in the earth. Your children, your seed will be a blessing in the earth. Abraham got a promise of being a blessing. Your life is going to mean something, Abraham. Your life, your name is going to be great. I mean, if somebody promised you fame and fortune, you got, first of all, you're going to be a great nation. Second of all, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a lot of good things. Third of all, your name's going to be great. Fourth, you're going to be a blessing. Your life is going to mean something to thousands, millions, millions of people. Your life's going to mean something. But you're going to pay a price. There's a price tag for this. The price tag is, you're going to have to get up and leave your home. You're going to have to travel across a desert world. You're going to have to keep on going and keep on going in endurance. You're going to have endurance. The fifth promise is about friends. He said, I will bless them that bless you. So, hey, if you got friends, they're going to be well off. They're going to be blessed. And those people that you like, the people that treat you well, all your friends, they're going to be blessed, right? So that's a nice thing. The sixth promise is about enemies. I will curse him that curses you. Now these are God's words to Abraham. I'll curse him that curses you. I'll bless him that blesses you. You're going to be a blessing in the earth. You're going to have a great name. You know, I'm going to bless you personally. You're going to be a great nation. I'm going to turn you into a great nation, though you have no children at this time. And then probably one of the greatest of all the promises. He says this, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. In you. Now, here's what the scripture says to us. If you are Christ's, isn't that right? Read that in the book of Galatians. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, children, and you are heirs according to these promises. A city whose foundation is God, and builder is God. You are there. And what does the scripture say? Paul says this in Galatians 3. That's in the Galatians 3, verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, make them righteous by their faith. Just as, remember the most famous scripture about Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Well, the Gentiles would be justified, made righteous by faith. The scriptures, foreseeing this, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Paul quotes that scripture. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. That's from the New American Standard Version. They're blessed along with Abraham the believer because they believe. You and I can stand before God, declared as righteous, forensically, legally righteous, because we have the faith that Abraham had. We believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We believe God. It's so important to have this good sense of values, the faith that will give you values. Faith in God gives you a set of values. The lack of faith will cause you to do what Esau did. What did Esau do? Take it. What good is this promise going to be for me? Sold it for a pot of porridge. Jacob said, I'll take it. You don't want it. Esau said, I'm hungry. I don't care. I don't want this. He had no endurance. He had no way to postpone pleasure. He had no way to postpone his appetites. He had no way to control his appetites. So what did he do? He sold the pottage. He sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. He sold the most valuable thing, represented by Jesus Christ himself, because the seed that Paul talks about is not many seeds, but one seed. And Paul said that seed is Jesus Christ. In other words, the Savior is coming through the promises to Abraham and Abraham's genealogy. He sold that for a bowl of soup. And what did Judah do? Judas do. What did Judas do? He sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. They preferred the trinkets, the things of this world, to the things of God. You see, Abraham, I guess he came through a few cities on his way from Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran. I guess he's seen a lot of different places. Not big cities like we have today, but he'd seen a few. He was not satisfied with any of those. Abraham was not satisfied with them. Lot loved Sodom. He liked Sodom. His wife liked Sodom. Angel said, get out of here. Don't even look back. His wife said, oh man, that's a nice city. So Lot was satisfied with Sodom. Abraham was interested in something better. He was interested in a city that was made, built, constructed, planned by God himself. Abraham wanted to live in the eternal city, as he shall. And through his faith, for which I am deeply grateful, because I can believe in one of the genealogical people out of his loins, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can be a child of Abraham, and I can also be justified by faith.